if more people felt the power of this approach to life, they would become addicted. What do you think the biggest misconception is with Christians or Christianity? I'd love to hear that.
Gosh.
I have a question too. Like, would Jesus, if he lives in America today, would he be Democrat or Republican or something else?
He would be Jesus.
Yeah. That's crazy. The fact that you wouldn't do, so there's cold plunges, there's saunas, there's Normatec, there's supplements, there's all these different things, but you would go,
bro, yeah,
sleep mattress. But you don't have a million subscribers.
Right.
You have 60,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Like 58.
But you're making your living through those videos. So that should be like a wake up call to everyone. Like, you don't need to chase the equipment, and you don't gotta chase the follower count or subscriber count, because you can make things happen with your content if you do two things. We're in the Zen Den, baby. First podcast in the backyard.
Let's go.
By the way, stoked you're here. Let me get you this.
Let's do it.
Slate milk, 42 G's. Okay, so David and I met at Running Man. And this was, 2-3 weeks ago? Something like
that?
Last
weekend.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, not the weekend that just passed.
Okay.
Today's
so just
Tuesday.
Over like 8 days ago.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But you and I met, and it's like we had this conversation that lasts probably a good 20 minutes or so. But by the second minute, I was like, yo, this is my guy.
Right.
And like, we're like a long lost brother.
Seriously.
So like, how often does that happen to you? Because I feel like you got great energy. And then the second question would be like, why is that even a thing? Like, what is it about people that kind of makes us feel like we've known them forever?
So to be totally transparent, I feel like it happens a lot. Quick story. I was at my buddy Eric Hinman's Founders Only Retreat, and he passes a mic around and asks, like, what's your superpower? And it's one of those questions that you're put on the spot. And I didn't really...
What's your superpower? I love that question.
My superpower, I felt like, is just connecting with complete strangers. Like, to me, every one of my best friends was once a complete stranger. So why prevent that from happening?
Mm-hmm.
So it does happen quite often. Like, I find that I have really good friends with people who work at the grocery store that I go to quite often. We actually know things about each other. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't happen enough in the world, but I think it should happen more. And what makes that happen is your openness, like your willingness to be vulnerable, be open, and be transparent with who you are. And the craziest thing, that wasn't the lifestyle I lived for most of my life. It wasn't until I really started being vulnerable and open with who I was on social media and realizing that the algorithm is actually just a matchmaker.
Mm-hmm.
It finds your people.
Yeah.
And when you start seeing the fruits of that labor of sharing who you are online with the world, with strangers, and finding there's a lot of people out there that are similar to you, interested in the same things as you, and look at life the same way you do, mm-hmm. it feels... The world just looks a little more beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So you weren't like this with like back in your old job or 10 years ago? You weren't like that as much?
I would say I was, but looking back, I wasn't nearly as open as I am now.
Yeah.
I was open. I was pretty, like, I would hug a stranger, but definitely not to the level that I am now.
Yeah. Because we just had a 5-second hug right there in the backyard, barefoot on the grass, and that was phenomenal.
Felt so good.
That should be a mandatory thing for human beings to start the day.
I'm in. I'll come over here every morning.
I feel you make the hour drive or so.
Yeah.
I just feel like the world would be a better place if there were just more of that, like to your point, like this openness, this vulnerability, this openness to connection, and kind of being, I guess I would say, uncomfortable, because that's not so natural for us, I feel like. But once you do that more often, it becomes natural.
It's,
you know?
It's true. And I feel like sometimes we don't stop to think that, like, this conversation we're having right now, that's happening currently, is the very first time you're ever hearing the words that I'm speaking come out of my mouth.
Mm.
And it's the very first time I'm hearing you speak the words you're about to speak ever.
Whoa.
And I think sometimes we don't think about that. We think that, like, a lot of us have canned responses, you know, like, hey, how you been? Good. That's my least favorite question. So, well, what's making life good right now?
Mm-hmm.
What's something that happened today that you'll never forget? And when you look at it like that, it's like having a conversation with somebody where you're genuinely interested and you're genuinely listening with intention. It changes the way you communicate with people.
Mm-hmm.
It changes the energy of the conversation. I mean, we've all been there where you're talking to somebody, they ask you, hey, how's the family? And then they look at their phone.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I've been there.
Yeah.
And it hurts. It's disconnection. And we're designed for connection. We're designed for community.
Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about that presence. Like, your presence is your most valuable commodity. Not time, but presence. So when it comes to, I mean, I totally get that too. Lost my train of thought even to begin with.
My bad.
You said a lot of beautiful things. What did you just say? Oh, okay. So here's the idea that I had, and the shift that I had that really changed things for me, and how I connect with people, how I talk to people, how I treat others. And it's this idea of how everybody is my neighbor.
Yeah.
So when I was growing up, I thought, you know, neighbors and friends, those are in this one category. And then strangers or people who don't believe in what I believe or don't talk like me or whatever that is, they're just others. Like, they're the strangers. But things like totally shifted for me when I realized that like strangers are neighbors in disguise. Like that's my idea now, where it's like, oh, a stranger is just someone you haven't really connected with and got to know. Because after all, we all want the same things.
We do.
We all want to feel seen, feel understood. We all want to have a meaningful life. We want to be happy. We want to find purpose. Like, all that stuff is true for all humans. So if I can speak to you, like kind of like when we first met, it's like, I sort of do know you, but I haven't known the details of your life, let's say. But that's, I think it's a great way to approach life.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think it's kind of crazy when I think back to it, because I got to Running Man. I'd never met you before. I've heard your name. I've seen some of your content before, but I didn't really know anything about you.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, oh, dude, you got to meet Brian. Brian's here this year. You got to meet Brian. I'm like, all right, where's Brian? I didn't, like, where's this Brian guy, this mythical creature? I got to meet him. I don't know why. No one's explaining why. They're just like, you just got to meet him. And I'm like, all right. And people say that sometimes about other people, but it's never been like this. Like, this was like a flood. Three different people were like, you got to meet Brian.
Interesting.
And then I'm walking around Running Man with my wife and kind of showing her some of the different stuff. So we're at the bodega, which is like where brands just, you know, you just grab whatever you want.
And which is crazy, dude. That Running Man, I've never seen that, just to pause. Never seen the amount of like just brands and free stuff just up for grabs. Like, you're walking out with headphones and supplements,
bro,
and shoes. Like, but yeah.
If I get invited back next year, or I'll just buy a ticket if I don't, I want to make a video for YouTube. Can you go to Running Man, spend $0, and survive the weekend?
True.
The answer is yes. Yes. Like, I will go ahead and answer it. Yes, you can. Like, you get there somehow. Everybody's willing. Like, we had a tent, a glamping tent, mm-hmm. and we had room. And, like, a couple people were like, oh, man, I got to stay at an Airbnb because I didn't have any. I'm like, bro, just come sleep in ours. Yeah. Like,
we got room.
We got plenty
there's
of
always room.
Dude, there's always room. So, like, you could find a place to stay. You're getting free food all day long and drinks all day long and entertainment.
Yeah.
Like, it's if you win a ticket to Running Man, you could legitimately survive the weekend without spending a dollar.
100%.
But, so then I'm walking into the bodega and I see you and I recognize you and I'm like, hey, are you Brian? And you're in the middle of something. Like, you had a destination in mind. Like, you weren't just standing there waiting to sign autographs and say hi to people. You were on your way to do something. And I thought it was really cool. You said something in the beginning that your presence is your number one commodity, not your time. But you gave me both. Like, you didn't really know me. I didn't really know you. I was like, hey, everyone keeps telling me I got to meet you. And we stood there at the entrance to this bodega.
That's right.
For 20 plus minutes.
After the sunset.
Mm-hmm. And we both had things to do, people to see and places to go. But we stood there and gave each other 20 minutes of undivided attention, conversation. And I'll never forget that, because it's rare. Yeah. Not a lot of people are willing to do that. They would like to. Mm. But they're not really willing to do it. So I appreciated that. Yeah. And that conversation led to what I would consider to be a pretty quick friendship.
Mm-hmm.
A brotherhood, if you will.
100%, dude. And that's what I was telling Gigi right after the fact. I'm like, yeah, David and Stacy, right? Stacy's the one. Four kids. And I want to dive into all this. But like, again, we had that conversation. I'm like, these people are salt of the earth. So much of our quality of life that I'm realizing lately is like, the relationships and the people you hang around with. You know, we're all busy. Like, we all have lives and business and everything, which is why it's so important to be connected to the right people. And so I just think we both share this, which is what I think, if more people felt the power of this approach to life, they would become addicted. Is every single moment or encounter could change your life.
So true.
I stop And I conversate and I connect with you, because I'm like, this could be a door that opens to a new friendship. It could just as easily be a new business partnership. Yeah. You know, it's like taking that approach to life. Like, there's no ordinary days. Like, this man started the conversation off with, this has never happened before.
Right.
This conversation, even if you know someone for years, which I feel like I need to take to my marriage. Like, how often do we just go through the motions of the normal conversations or the routine, especially with kids? But it's like, dude, every single day is so unique and it could have powerful breakthroughs, but it takes like the eyes to see it. It takes your willingness and intention to basically be ready to see things that's right in front of you.
Dude, I had something happen to me about, it was probably a year ago or so. My son stayed home from school sick. He wasn't really sick, but he stayed home. He had a little...
Good actor.
Good actor, man. He just wanted to hang out with dad. And I had a lot of work to do. I'm a content creator full-time, so and I'm basically a solopreneur. Like, I film everything. At the time, I was editing everything myself, so I had a big day ahead of me of work. And, you know, I did what every dad would do. I turned the TV on, gave him some snacks, and got to work.
Yeah.
And there was a moment that throughout the day where he came up. He's like, Dad, can you pull me on the wagon in the yard? You know, like... I'm like, no, man, I gotta finish this. I got a lot of work to do. And he's like, okay. And I remember seeing his face, and he looked sad. He looked like down, like, oh, man, like mm-hmm. dad said no. And I'm not a no dad. I'm a very much yes dad. Mm-hmm. But I had a lot of work to do. And seeing his face, it was like, man, this flood of thoughts popped in my head. It was like, when's the last time my oldest daughter has asked me to pull her in the wagon? Like, there's going to come a time where they're not going to ask anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's all these cliches like, kids can only hear no so many times before they stop asking you and start asking someone else. And I believe there's a lot of truth to that too. But for me, I'm usually pretty intentional about it, but I recognize like, man, he just wants to go get pulled in the backyard on a wagon. It's going to take me 5-10 minutes to fill his bucket and then I can get back to work. Hmm. And he will be like, my dad said yes. Like,
yeah.
He will feel that. He may not acknowledge it, but like he'll feel it. Hmm. So like, I almost cried and I'm like, man, what an epiphany moment. Like, when's the last time Ava's asked me to pull her on the wagon? So I take him outside in the wagon, pull him around the yard, film a little reel, post it. It's emotional. It's great. Later on that day, my wife and the rest of my three daughters come home from school. And I just like, for fun, I recorded, like put my phone down and recorded. I was like, hey, Ava, you want me to pull you on the wagon in the backyard? And she's like, what? No. And then it got even more real for me because it's like, dude, like that's proof right there that our time with our kids is limited. Our time with our friends is limited. I mean, think back to relationships I've had in the past, like in my previous career, I had some really great friendships, some really great conversations. We, you know, with people through the thickest and the thinnest of times. And now we don't really have a relationship anymore because we don't work together. We're not, we're not with each other all
vicinity,
the time.
Yeah.
So it changes. Mm-hmm. It's not bad, but it just changes. Mm-hmm. And it makes you appreciate and cherish those conversations a little bit more, you know, like you said, this conversation could lead, it's already led to that stopping at Running Man led to a friendship, which led to this podcast. And even now, like I listen to podcasts with more intention. Like sometimes you hit a podcast because you might like the host or you might like the whoever's on the podcast, but like, are you really listening to the words being spoken? Cause it's a full blown conversation that's unscripted, meaning you're feeling something that's real. And right now there's so much content out there that's scripted. And it's not real.
Yeah, your YouTube is not scripted at all, right?
It's not scripted.
Because that's a great point where I see a lot of stuff on YouTube that is, we're just reading it from a teleprompter.
Right.
And there's a time and place, I get it.
Yeah.
But I'm a big believer, and Josh and I talk about this a lot, and I talk about it in general a lot. It's like, in the world of information 2.0, we're in the information 2.0 age. Like 10.0 age.
Right.
Information's not what's going to separate you from other people, or information's not going to give you a leg up anymore. It's like, it's out there.
It's out there.
It's you being more human. It's you being more you. And so I just want to get better at being me. I want to get better at speaking from the heart. I want to get better at articulating my thoughts. I want to get better at organizing my thoughts. I want to get better at showing or feeling empathy, like connecting with other people. That's irreplaceable. And if you add knowledge and expertise, especially firsthand knowledge to that, you're freaking unstoppable.
Amen.
Right? Real quick, I was thinking, which is probably a far out thought, most likely untrue, but what if heaven, to some extent, like whatever is after this, is like you get to relive your entire life, but you never miss the moment.
Mm.
Like you show up in the fullest way, the most present way, and you are all there. There's no worry. There's no fear of the future. You're just freaking there. Like on some level, how satisfying that must feel, that is paradise on some level. It's like you're loving and being loved and you're fully present.
Well, it is true. And you got to think there's some merit to that, you know, because worship in heaven, the angels never run out of reasons to stop worshiping God. He's that good. we do. You know, we're down here, and I love Jesus. I mean, my hat.
Yeah, you're a believer, yeah.
Says Jesus on it. Like, that's, I wear this everywhere I go. And not to, like, push it on anybody, but, like, he saved my life. Mm. And my relationship with Jesus is the most important thing, because from him, all things flow. Mm. I've recognized that. But even as someone who recognizes that and lived a very lost life previous to this, I still sometimes run out of reasons to acknowledge his presence in my life and worship what he has done in my life, because we're human. So that could be.
Yeah.
We could live in the most present.
Yeah.
I love that.
On some level, right? That's one of my far out thoughts. It's not really grounded in reality. It's just like, what if, you know?
If?
All I know is whatever is next, if God is love, it's got to be 1,000 times infinitely better than what my little pea-sized human brain can fathom.
We can't fathom it.
So you brought up Jesus. Okay, this is amazing. And it's part of my journey of, like, I don't speak about my relationship with Jesus and my beliefs as much on social media anymore. And there's that's a whole different conversation. I feel like what I believe to my core, in terms of, like, posting content, it's almost like this quote kind of encapsulates it, where people don't really care about what you think and what you believe. They care about how you live. So Apollo, the alchemist author, said, "The world is not changed by your opinion, but by your example." And Christ came to show us the way. He showed us how to be human, showed us, you know, what it looks like to love your neighbor. Oh, by the way, love your enemy. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, if we loved our enemies, imagine the world, imagine America, what that would look like. So there's a lot there that we can dive into. But yeah, you personally, I guess, like, give me the short or the long version. I'm down for both. Who were you, like, what were you like before? And then, I guess, what were you like after Jesus?
So I grew up in, I hate saying it like this, but, like, I didn't really grow up in, like, a Christian household. We were actually Catholic and would go to church every so often.
Like, culturally familiar.
Yeah, I grew up with a great family life, but we didn't pray before every meal. Like, we weren't super grounded in a relationship with Jesus. And it wasn't until, flash forward, long story short, but I started working when I was 15 years old. When I was 18, I met my wife at our job. And she was the first person in my life to really, like, give me a reason to pursue Jesus. Mm. One, she wouldn't date me. And I thought she was the most stunning thing I'd ever seen. And at the time, I was living a very sin-filled life. Like, I was introduced to all of the things the world had to offer very early on in my life. Let your mind wander. Yes. If you're asking, did he really? Yes. Everything you could think of, I've done. Mm. And I chased after it all. And it was a very sad, lonely, and constant loop of depression lifestyle. Mm. And we all probably know people who are living that lifestyle now, where they're just constantly drinking, constantly doing drugs, constantly chasing women or whatever it is. And they're just never really happy. Like, they can smile, but they're never really happy because we're missing something that's super important. And I didn't know what it was. I met Stacy, and she was reading a book on her desk. This was after me being like, "Hey, we should hang out." And she's like, "I would never hang out with a guy like you." I'm like, "Why?"
You go, "Ouch."
She's like, "I know who you are. You're a pig." I'm like, "What? Rude." What is
although
it?
Accurate?
Yeah, very accurate. Okay, well, moving on. I would never move on, man. I just would keep going back to her, and I saw her. She was reading this book. I'm like, "What are you reading?" She's like, "It's my devotion." I'm like, "Yeah, I love devotion." I thought it was like a book. I didn't even know what devotion meant. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, "Yeah, like, let's check it out." So she reads me a devotion, and I'm like, "Wait, was that like about like God and stuff?" She's like, "Yeah, that's what a devotion is." So I was like, "Huh, it's interesting." So every day I would go back. Every day I was at work with her, I would go into her office and be like, "Hey, have you read your devotion yet? Can we read it together?" And she would start reading this devotion. And little did I know, she was planting seeds. Mm-hmm. And one of my best friends today is a youth pastor, and we talk about a lot of different things, and we help each other kind of just understand. And I preached a message to him about how you can't control the soil, and you're not supposed to, how you're supposed to just plant the seeds. Mm. And how, like, Stacy couldn't control the soil. She couldn't control what I was doing with my life, but she kept planting seeds. Mm. And eventually she planted enough seeds where by the time I turned 21 and I gave my life to Jesus. And I'll never forget, I wasn't a crier. And I went to church. There's so many cool parts to this story, which it should be its own, like, movie one day.
Yeah.
But I was kidnapped, brought to church by a guy. Next thing you know, like, that's the church. I gave my life to Christ. Next thing you know, I asked Stacy, "Hey, why don't we just get married?" She's like, "Why don't we go on a date first?" We go on a date. I ask her to marry me. I have to chase her dad. Yeah, I have to chase her dad down to get his permission. It was a disaster, but also a really cool story. There's so many cool things to it. But yeah, gave my life to Jesus, left that life of sin. And don't get me wrong. Like, people were like, you said something great. Like, what if we loved everybody? Like, what if we loved everybody? I posted something yesterday. It was about that. Because there's a lot of people with a bunch of anxiety right now, a bunch of different views. You know, some people are saying, oh, we're saved because there's this new revival happening in America. And some people are saying we're doomed because there's this new revival happening in America. I want to say nobody is our savior. Like, this revival that's happening is great, but it needs to be real. You know, like, there's two different Jesuses. There's the Jesus that is the truth, and there's the Jesus that is convenient. And we need to make sure that we're getting into our word and that we're actually understanding the Jesus that is truth, because there's going to be a lot of sound bites that are going to hit social media, and they're going to look good, and they're going to get popular, and it's going to be great. But if it's not truth, then it's not Jesus. So I would just encourage anybody listening or watching to, you know, if you see all this stuff and you're feeling good, that's great, but make sure that it's truth. Like, make sure you're actually understanding the truth of what Jesus is. Because it can look good on screen and it can sound good on a soundbite, but we need to understand the real truth there.
So, dude, love, there's so much there too. Like,
so much.
Thanks
there,
for sharing.
Went all over the place there.
I love it, dude. I love it. So if I'm hearing correctly too, it's like you had an empty life before where you're chasing all this stuff that seems exciting, what the world would say, like, this is the point, or this is worthwhile chasing.
Right.
Ultimately left you feeling empty and looking for more. And I think Stacy, it seems like, was that God used her to get you interested or get you open, and then you kind of just got to a moment of surrender and just saying, I'm done trying to control my life. And like, God, if you're real, that's amazing. And then now it's, I mean, your life's the fruit. It's your family, your marriage, your kids, your mindset, like your presence, your joy that's on your face. Like, that's incredible. So it seems like that's the before and after.
Dude, it's the before and after. And it gets even crazier, because after that, everything felt a little lighter. Like, life just felt better. Life looked more beautiful. Like, I started to appreciate things that I would just take for granted. And eventually got to the point where, like, I was very successful in a career in the car business. And then I felt, it's funny, like, people say, oh, I felt God tugging my heart in a different direction. I never thought I would be a content creator. I thought I would be in the car business my entire life. Like, I had started there in 15 years, or at 15 years old. Worked in that same business, career, same dealership for 20 years, and then one day just decided to completely quit. And it wasn't, it makes no
sense.
And
you had all four of your kids by then?
I had all four kids.
That's a big jump, dude.
All four kids in the middle of a massive remodel of our dream house. Yeah, man, I had the dream job people fight their entire lives to get. Great income, top 0.001% of income, all the perks. And I just said, you know what, like, comfort is a dangerous place, and I'm very comfortable, and I could ride off into the sunset and do this the rest of my life, but I won't feel fulfilled. Other people might feel fulfilled for me, but I won't. And I have to do something. I felt God calling me to do something different. So one day I just quit. I quit my job, left all the perks. There's no severance package in the car business. So, like, literally left with no income coming in. I was the sole income provider for our family, and just focused on making content full time. And what's crazy about that story, and there's so many details that would just make no sense to most people listening or hearing it, but I fully gave every part of my life to God and said, hey, I have no plans. There's nothing about me that should make me successful as a content creator. I wasn't a former athlete. I'm not a doctor or a nutritionist. Like, I've got no cool prerequisites or anything. I'm just a dude. And I just realized that cold plunging changed my life, my mentality for things, and then sauna as well, getting generally fit, optimally mid, as me and my wife call ourselves. You know, like, we're mid, but we're optimally mid.
Optimally mid to go run a marathon is pretty impressive.
It was cool.
I don't know if you could be optimally mid and do that. But
we are, man. We're optimally mid.
I like it.
And yeah, so I gave every part of my life to God and said, I just trust you. I will say yes when I feel it's you, and I will say no when I feel it's not, no matter how good it sounds or how bad it sounds. And it was a scary moment. It kind of, a friend of mine, he's a big public speaker. His name is Glenn Lundy, called me like 2 days after I quit, because it made like news in the car business.
Yeah, sure.
He's like, bro, he said, think about Peter when he stepped out of the boat. He was feeling really good, really sure of himself, because he's standing on water.
Yeah.
And he looked at Jesus, and he's standing on water. And he's like, man, like, this is awesome. But then he he looked left and he looked right and he saw the wind and the waves. Mm-hmm. He saw the real world and he drowned and he fell. And don't fall. He's like, dude, just keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep focused on Jesus. Give every part of it to him. And I believe you'll be okay. Mm. And having some reassurance from a friend who really has no ties into anything that you're doing, but just like he felt the need to let me know and give me that direction. Like anytime I found myself kind of like looking left and right, I'm like, nope, I'm gonna just focus on you.
Yeah.
And I could not write a contract. I could not write a 5-year plan and ask God for what my life has turned into in the past 2 years. Mm. He has overwhelmed me with the blessings and I could have never asked for it. I could have never prayed for this.
Yeah, dude. That's amazing. That's a testimony right there, bro. I think that's powerful because I know that in my own life, with baseball in my college days playing ball, I caught the yips, which is something, if you're familiar, like it's something like with your mindset and it's like a mental block and something you do over and over and over again, like catch a ground ball, throw it to first base from shortstop, become something that you overthink to a point that you're so scared to make a mistake, you either spike it or it goes into the stands way above the head. So I couldn't get out of it. Like I needed a sports psychologist and like actual help, which I didn't get at the time. So that's kind of in tandem with a couple other things, that's what ended my career. But that's why I'm so passionate about mindset and how we approach life and helping men and women like elevate their mindset, how they approach their day-to-day, because your life's only as good as your mindset. You know, we call how you relate to things and people and circumstances, like we call that your mental health. We call that your like mindset health, right? So the point being is what we focus on grows. If we focus on don't make this mistake, don't do this, what's gonna happen? You're gonna freaking spike it, you're gonna throw it. And so I think what you were speaking of with your story is this, that friend of yours, what's his name?
Glenn Lundy.
Glenn, legend. He encouraged you, which is dope, because like it's within encourage is what word?
Courage.
He freaking fused that courage within you, which really is just like, hey, this is who you are. This is whose you are. Like God's for you. So stop playing small. Stop living fearfully. So he fused you with courage, which helped you focus on what could happen.
Exactly.
In the best case scenario. And that's huge.
What a way to put it. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Because every time, like it's going to happen. I was pretty lonely too, because like my wife and kids we were homeschooling and she was a stay at home mom while I was working. And then God made all this happen. Like, I don't even know how it happened, but basically within like 3 days, I quit my job and Stacy gets offered a job at the school that my kids were going to prior to homeschooling. Mm. And they had 4 open slots for all 4 of my kids to go. So it was like, she gets a job and all 4 of our kids get to go to school, which was awesome.
Yeah.
It needed to happen. It happened. And now they're gone and I'm at home. Like, I'd never been home.
Yeah.
For my entire adult life, I had a job to go to and I was good at my job and I felt good at my job. I felt needed. I felt wanted. And now I'm home doing laundry and filming content myself. I didn't have a film crew or an editor or anything. I was doing it all myself. And I'm like, this is kind of lonely. Like, it was definitely some dark times. And all my friends who were my friends throughout working in the car business together, I mean, many I've known for so long, just stopped calling, stopped texting, stopped checking in, stopped needing me. And if any of them ever hear this, I'm sorry. This is how I felt. Like, they stopped. I felt like I wasn't needed anymore.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty dark place to be. And if I didn't have that grounding, if I didn't have that foundation on, hey, Jesus has more for me and this was part of his plan, I need to hit rock bottom so there's nowhere else to look and that's up and give it all to him. It happened for a reason. And I had that to look. I had that courage, that encouragement, that when I was in those really dark places alone, I was able to say, all right, Jesus, this is where I really need you. And I had someone to give that pain to. And this isn't to preach, but this is like, if you're somebody listening and like you don't have that place to put your pain, to put your anxiety, like Jesus is that place. Like, he is that place. I've experienced it in my life. I know many others have, but like, I would just encourage, if you haven't found a place to put that pain, to put that anxiety, to put that sadness, that depression, or that loneliness, open up the Bible and just read the gospel. Like, it's just filled with, or just watch the show on, I think it's on History Channel or
great
something.
Show, the
just the Bible.
The Chosen? Oh, okay.
No, The Chosen's good too, but the Bible, like reenacted, it just kind of helps.
Brings it to life.
Yeah, so.
No, that's phenomenal advice. That's exactly right. I mean, divine love is a person. That's a beautiful thing. And And I love that you're outspoken about your faith. It's amazing to see that. And I have so many questions to follow up on that. It's like, one of them being, especially in America, I would love to kind of pick your brain on, like, what do you think the biggest misconception is with Christians or Christianity? I'd love to hear that.
Gosh.
I have a question too. Like, would Jesus, if he lives in America today, would he be Democrat or Republican or something else?
He would be Jesus.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. I posted this post yesterday. I encourage you to go back and watch it and read the caption to it, because it took a lot. It was hard to film. I actually had to, like, cut myself a bunch of times. So, like, not cut myself, cut my cut the clip a bunch of times, because, like, I was getting passionate.
Yeah.
Like, I was getting filled with the Spirit, which sometimes can sound tough on camera. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're talking to somebody and you feel that passion,
sure,
it's different. But when you're watching it on camera, it can be hard to see.
Sure.
It's like, I've had to get off Facebook a little bit lately because of what we talked about a little bit earlier, is like, there's certain people who are looking at what's happening in America right now and they're thinking we're saved. And there's certain people who are looking and saying we're doomed. And then there's people who stand on the corner in New York with a megaphone saying, repent of your sins, you sinners. Like, just calling people. God doesn't call us to judge. He calls us to love. Who are we to judge? Just because somebody's sin is louder than yours doesn't mean their sin is any different than yours. Mm-hmm. We all have closet sin. We all have closet temptation. And a lot of people hear the word sin and they think, oh, this person's being holy and I don't understand it, so I'm not even going to listen anymore. It's temptation. Like, when you're sitting lonely at your house and you have the desire to pull up a pornography website, that's a real temptation for a lot of men and women. That's a sin. That's temptation. It's not good, but, like, we have a way out. And maybe you partake, maybe you don't. Either way, you have a sin, you have a temptation. Who are you to go judge somebody else because of the lifestyle that they're living? When you're living that same sinful lifestyle in the closet. We all suck, is what I'm trying to say. We all fall short. Nobody is better than some other person. It may look better online, it may look better on TV, it may look worse online, it may look worse on TV, but God calls us to love one another. Let us love one another unconditionally, no matter what, understanding that their sin is different than our sin and our sin is different than theirs. And it's a part of their testimony as it's a part of ours. Mm-hmm. Like, if I didn't have the lifestyle I had prior to knowing Jesus, my testimony wouldn't matter. I wouldn't have a testimony if I lived a perfect life.
Right.
Right. But I lived a horrible, sin-filled life. And I'm willing to accept that that was who I was. And I still, as a 37-year-old man, father of four, like, I still struggle with the mental temptation to do things. But I have someone to lean on when those times come, and I have friends that understand the same temptation. And if I'm feeling tempted, I can call them and be like, bro, I'm feeling tempted to do something. I need you to talk me out of it. Yeah. And I got bros that will do that, and I will do the same for them. We need each other. Mm-hmm. Democrat, the Republic, honestly, I think Jesus would just be Jesus. He would probably go to these festivals where bad things happen and just love one another. He wouldn't go there to preach. He would just go there to love. He would go to these places where it's looking really, really good, and he wouldn't go there to, like, be like, you guys are doing great, I'm so proud of you. He would just go there to love and maybe call them out a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe the ones who are living on the high horse, he would call out. And the ones who are already down, he would just love.
Yeah. Well said, dude. That's another so much packed into that. But that's essentially the point, I think. I think the misconception... I mean, there's a massive misconception that Jesus would vote a certain way, I think, in America. And the other misconception is where's the love? Like, love should be ultimately the biggest thing, biggest tangible thing people see in the life of a believer. Because to your point, it's all grace. Like, I am who I am, all by the grace of God. I am not my mistakes, all by the grace of God. I am not, like, those things don't define me anymore because God had a bigger plan. Like, so that's the power of finding my identity in Christ, is I'm not my mistakes. I'm not my failures. I'm not my past, but more importantly, I'm not the mistakes I'm gonna make.
Right.
You know? So I'm not gonna define myself by those things. I'm going to define myself by who I am in Christ. And that's when, like, Ryan asked us at Pathos the other day, and I wanna get into community and how you define success. And again, there's so many things in my head. So part of this journey too is like trying to keep everything in one place and not use notes, because what you said is perfect. Like, this is a moment. Let's connect. Let's not have a script and like go through that. But anyway.
Those are good. There's a time and place for that. But
time and place.
I love podcasts where it's spirit led. Like
100%.
We didn't plan this.
100%.
We didn't even talk about if this was an okay topic to talk about.
For sure. But you're passionately speaking and expressing. I love that. Like, passion, it's inspired talk, which is God-breathed talk. Like, God's giving you that energy and wisdom and articulation and passion for something. Let that go. But just to wrap that idea in the, whatever the saying is, wrap in the bud, whatever that is. But to tie that into a bow and to finish it, that we close the loop, is Ryan asks, he at Pathos asked, you know, who are you? Who are you really? Because his point was, and this is what I talk about at my summits and during the identity workshop, is like, we get so fixated, as men especially, with our roles and with our achievements and what others say about us, right? But truthfully, who we are is so much more than that. It is infinitely more than that. So he's like, if you answered, I'm a man, or I'm a husband, I'm a father, or I'm a Republican or a Democrat, or I'm a whatever, fill in the blank, that is just, it's not as much as who you are. So my point is, when he asked that, someone says, who are you at your deepest core? My answer is, I'm a child of God. I'm loved.
Let's go.
That's who I am.
Yes.
I'm loved.
You are loved.
And that's huge for me. Like, that's my foundation, because what we saw in Jesus is like that picture of divine love, willing to stop at nothing to redeem and reconcile us back to God. Like, that's the heart of the universe. That's the heart of this experience. And if I understand who I am and how much I'm loved, everything else falls into place.
Dude, that's so good. And just to really drive a little nail a little deeper.
Drive it.
Is you are loved. You are loved. Everyone listening to this is loved, but it doesn't mean you're justified. It doesn't mean that the lifestyle you're choosing to live, it gives you a hall pass to live a lifestyle filled with self-praise is the word. And like you said, as men, we want to focus on our achievements, focus on our wins, focus on what we're doing, our it's great. It's great to celebrate. But I think sometimes people find their identity in those achievements. Mm-hmm. And because it's so loud online, those who don't have all those same achievements feel less than.
Sure.
So I think anybody who feels like they've achieved a lot in their life, their goal should be to take both their hands and grab two different people and pull them up with them. Mm-hmm. I think that is what needs to happen next. I think for that's my challenge to you, your challenge to me, our challenge to each other is like, let's keep grabbing people who maybe aren't even listening to this and grab them with both hands and lift them up. Mm-hmm. I hate seeing people that are down. My favorite thing to do when I'm walking through the grocery mm-hmm. store is see someone, and you can see it. You can see body language when somebody is just not, something's up, and just acknowledge them. Mm-hmm. It's not like, be weird about it. It's not go up to him and give him a 3-second hug. You might get hit.
Yeah.
But it's like, hey man.
Yeah.
Beautiful day, right? Just something random. Compliment something. That's my favorite thing to do too, is when I'm somewhere random, is like compliment somebody. Everybody shows what they're wearing. Like, dude, I love your hat.
Mm.
Like, just sick hat.
True.
You know, like, and it makes you feel good. Mm. It's like, oh man, this guy liked my hat.
Yeah.
Really? So cool. And they remember that.
Yeah.
So
that's something that's another thing we share in common, is just like looking for a reason to pay someone a compliment.
Yeah.
Like genuinely, not having the same one for every person. But
right.
I have started that habit, and now it's second nature.
I love
which
that.
Is the goal, which is to have these second nature habits that are above the line, that help people feel seen, help you connect, help you live a better life, you know?
Yes,
so,
bro.
So when we're talking about living a better life, and all that being said, now that you have this spirituality that's life-giving, and it's giving you clarity and peace and passion. You have a beautiful family, which we didn't even talk about, the fact that you and Stacy just cranked out a marathon at Running Man. But you have all these different things in your life. How does David define success today?
I don't know if I do.
Okay.
I'm weird, right? Like,
he's like, success doesn't exist.
I don't think it does, because success seems so final.
Mm.
Like, people could have said I was super successful in the car business. We would win these awesome trips, and we would you know, top ranking dealer, great customer satisfaction, and then it would just restart the next month.
Right.
So it's like
when is enough?
When is enough? And I mean, there's interviews, right? Like interviews where people would ask billionaires, millionaires, people who are super wealthy, like at what point is enough? Like where is enough money? And it's sure. always just a little more. There is no success. So I think maybe I've been just tainted to the whole, I don't know. Like, I don't think I define success as like a destination.
That's good.
Every day's new. I mean, every conversation I have with my kids is new. I mean, one day I could think everything in my family is going great. And then the next day there's some drama. So I don't really have a good answer for that.
Yeah.
I don't really focus on it. I focus on what's in front of me and
the process.
And the process and the journey. Life's a journey. Mm-hmm. It's not really a guided tour or a final destination. I mean, we are all kind of like one long goodbye until we're dead, right? So it's just enjoy each moment, each day, and live with intention. I feel like instead of focusing on success, I focus on intention.
Yeah.
That's what I can really plan. I can't really plan for success. I'd say that I'm living a successful life, but it's not over yet. Yeah. So it could come crashing down tomorrow.
Right, right. That's great. I love your openness to like saying, I don't know. Because after all, one of my favorite Trevor Hall lyrics is like, what I know is that I don't know.
Right.
And I want to stay there more often because there's certain things I believe last year that I'm like, how silly, Brian. Like, you know, we've had new information. We've had new experience come to light or have that happen where it's like, that's actually not true. And what you spoke about with the success is something I really firmly believe right now. And again, I could be wrong. Maybe in 5 years, I'm like, Brian, you dummy. That's not success. But success to me is so much more about how you show up than about what you do, than about what you achieve, what happens when you show up. It's about your heart and your posture, your mindset, and the way you move through life. Because you could have the money, you could have the achievements, but doesn't necessarily mean you're truly successful. And I think that's easier said than done when people have things in their life that they're that are objectively like, yeah, you achieve that. You should be proud. But to your point, the billionaires, the people who are like Jim Carrey's of the world, where he's like, I wish everyone could be rich and famous just to see how empty it is.
Yeah.
Like, if that happens over and over and over again, like, doesn't that say something about what we typically define success as?
Dude, yes, it does. And I think I wish people could have that experience and lean. I did. I was a top 0.001% income earner, and it was like not a very fulfilling life. I had the wife, I had the kids, I had Jesus, I had the friends, I had my name on. It was most people's definition of success. That was it. I was living it, and I willingly left it. I wasn't fired. I wasn't laid off. It was a shock when I quit, and I quit, and I tarnished relationships. I tarnished family relationships. I tarnished a ton to quit and chase purpose. And I think to anybody who maybe is thinking of what their answer to that question would be, like, how do you define success? I would challenge you to also kind of restructure that question and think, like, am I living with purpose? Like, is my life giving me purpose? Is my life giving me life? Devin says something like, I'm living for a living. Mm-hmm. I heard Devin Levesque say that. Like, I'm living for a living. Everyone should. Mm-hmm. Everyone should be living for a living. Like, your job should complement what brings you purpose. Mm-hmm. And that will provide your income. And I think genuinely, like, that's success, is when you're able to pay your bills, live a good life, and you feel your cup is overflowing with purpose every day. Like, I think that's success.
Mm.
I don't know if it ends, because maybe it changes.
Yeah.
But I would restructure that to think, like, am I living with purpose? Do I feel fulfillment from what I'm doing? And if the answer is no, make a change.
Yeah.
Choose your hard.
Yeah.
Right?
You saw that this morning.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. That poem's fire.
So fire.
Yeah. I mean, it puts you in the driver's seat, essentially. Like, hey, you can choose. You know, you have the free will to embrace hard things. Because just like the cold plunge, I mean, full circle, you spend a lot of time in the plunges and stuff. When is it harder? When you're in a place of like, I don't want to do this. I feel like you're kind of just like hesitant. You're resisting it. Or when you're like, no, I'm gonna actively get in this. I know it's gonna make me better, and I'm gonna be stronger and more disciplined because of it. When is it easier?
It's easier when you accept why you're doing it.
Exactly.
Yeah, and exactly. I think that's what I love about it. Is it never gets easier. You just have to like manipulate yourself.
Yeah.
And say, I'm going to get in anyway.
Yeah.
Like this morning, I got in it at 5:20 this morning and I didn't want to.
Mm.
Who would want to?
Yeah.
I didn't need to. I was coming here. There's a cold plunge. I'm looking at it. Like I could have got my plunge in here.
Yeah.
But I was like, this is going to wake me up. It's going to make me feel better. I'm going to be able to be more mindfully intentional on the car ride, taking my kids to school. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's going to set me up for a better day. And I did something and it was hard.
Yeah.
And it felt freaking good.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah. That's fire, dude. I wanted to get your point of view on a couple things. Number one, like what's your quick best advice? Just going back previously, because I put this bookmark in my head when you're talking about work from home.
Yeah.
I think a lot more men are working from home in a hybrid or full time scenario with the jobs that you can do from home these days. So what is David's best advice for working home effectively as a man?
I struggle with that too. I struggle with that too because rhythms and routines are constantly changing. Like obviously I have friends just like you do who are content creators living kind of a similar lifestyle to us, which God is so good, but they don't have kids. They're not married. They're able to literally schedule out their entire day. And they're like selling courses on how to be productive. Go have a family.
Right, right.
Go have a family and then write books on how to be productive, please. Like, really.
Isn't it crazy though that even before kids, Gigi and I talk about this all the time. We thought we were insanely busy. We thought we didn't have time. So like we had to have the hacks and stuff to put things in place, but you don't know what you don't know.
No, and it's good. And I think there's obviously an audience for all of it. But I'm saying do you have a good answer?
For sure.
I think that doing the things that are most important earlier in the day, which are sometimes the things that are really hard earlier in the day, sets me up for a successful day. Like I'll be honest, yesterday I had one of the most productive, best days I've ever had up top.
Why is that?
It was a great day. Got up, had a great frame of mind, got my kids ready for school. Stacy took the kids to school. And while she took them to school, which it's like a pretty good drive, I have about an hour and a half to 2 hours alone. I was able to do my morning devotion, plan a devotion, role play this devotion, because I was going to share it with my wife when she got home. And we like to practice on each other.
I love that.
So I was able to spend intentional time with God in my happy place, which is also my podcast studio. So I'll have to have you come over and
need to
join in that. It's very similar to this.
It's
a sanctuary. I love it. I was able to work on strength. I'm really trying to be mindful and intentional of certain muscle groups that I'm not super happy with. And I know that if I put a little more work into them intentionally, that things will work out.
Sure.
My wife had also said that she kind of wants to start doing some high rock style workouts again, which I was like, yes, let's go. So I planned my strength workout. She came, as soon as she got home, she had some stuff to do. So I was able to film full hour and a half, 2 hours of full filming, got that done. Then we worked out together, epic time. And now everything, all the important stuff that needed to happen that I could have put off.
Yeah.
Like I got it all done. And now we have this free time. We have like 2 hours before we have to go get the kids from school. So we played a little pickleball. We laid out.
It's great.
Like lived the retired lifestyle for 2 hours.
The dream.
That was a very successful day.
Yeah.
I had a couple calls with some friends and it was just a good intentional day. Then the kids came home. I wasn't stressing over oh man, I need to proof watch this or do this. I was able to get everything that I needed to get done. And then when the times came, I was able to be intentional. Now that doesn't always happen because that's Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Today there's different routines with sports and different things that my kids have in school, traveling for doing podcasts and stuff. So like every day is a little different, but okay, back to the question, any advice for the parents who are working from home, figure out what your priorities are and have your top three priorities that aren't work related and make sure you try to get them done early in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you can, some people have to work specific hours. I get that. It's different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard question to answer.
For sure.
But I would say prioritize the things that bring you the most life.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I think that's well said because I'm a big believer that, I said it today, life is not going to get easier, but we get stronger. We can approach life better and better. We can get wiser. We can get stronger. We can get better. So it's almost as if that constantly resets. So it's doing things that help you feel more centered, more grounded, more confident, more energetic. And that's the secret all the time. Doing more of those things more consistently is a really vicious positive cycle. So I hear cold plunging, I hear sauna, strength training. What are some things that you do that help you feel more alive, more you. Yeah. That way you can tackle things in the best
way
possible.
Let's go, bro.
Yeah.
This is what I love the most. This is what brings me the most joy in this fitness space. Because I don't consider
Talking to
myself,
me?
Yeah, you, bro. I don't consider myself like a fitness influencer, but I consider myself a resilience influencer. I want people to feel this lifestyle. Like, I legitimately look in the mirror and I'm like, man, I have a long way to go. I look at you and I'm like, you are so fit.
Stop.
In every way. You're wow. a great looking human who's fit and able. Like, that's, and you're present. Like, you check a lot of the boxes of what men today are probably aspiring to be. Mm. And it is hard. I know it's discipline. I know it takes a lot because I'm doing it. And mm-hmm. I'm literally like, that's my job now. Mm-hmm. But resilience is what I'm after.
That's
like,
fire.
I want to be able, I don't want to be so sore to where I can't enjoy time with my family or do something super spontaneous.
Sure.
Or like go randomly throw a backflip. Like, I want to be able to
Can you do a backflip?
I just learned it this year.
Heck yeah, dude.
That was a goal. But if I train the way I used to train, really intense and I was always sore.
Mm.
And then I started doing CrossFit and I was always hurt. And then I started doing a lot of yoga and then I got really limber and I wasn't hurt all the time, but I didn't really love the way I looked.
Yeah.
So like I've tried all these different things. Now I have this like hybrid training that I program myself and I feel great. I'm able to go run a High Rocks with my wife. We do it together. That's we went great. And ran a High Rocks together.
Yeah.
2 weeks of training. Ran a High Rocks, completed it.
Love it.
2 weeks of training, ran a marathon. Like, we were able to just sign up for these things and go do it and come home and not be dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I remember hearing my friends or family members going and running their first marathon, and then they had, like, a week of recovery.
Yeah.
The next day, we were out hanging out with our kids, playing in the backyard, and then Monday came around, we started working out again. Like,
wow.
I don't know. Like, are we supposed to be more sore, or is there another way?
Hmm.
So, doing cold plunge, grounding, getting intentional sleep, sauna, contrast therapy, red light therapy. Like, these might all seem like biohacks, but honestly, they're like resiliency needs.
Mm.
They're things that create a more resilient body.
Love that.
Things have just started healing faster. I feel more energy. I feel better. I feel more present. I feel less anxious. And I'm able to go do the things.
Yeah, that's fire. Resilient. What do you say? Resilience. Resilience influencer. How do you, I love that. How do you optimize sleep? Is there certain things that you do? Outside of, because I mean, I'd imagine, at least for me, it's like the sauna in the evenings, like an hour before bed, hot tub, same thing. I think for me, it's like when I'm at my best, when I sleep really well, I have some sort of ritual where part of it is turning screens off.
Yeah.
So phone goes away, airplane mode. And it's both the blue light, but it's also the stimulus on the mind. And so
so
I put that away. Ideally, I call it like monk mode. I'd say it's a different
spin. I saw you talking about that. I like it.
But yeah, but putting that away, pouring a cup of hot tea, you know, chamomile or bedtime, whatever, and just pouring that, getting down, reading a book, or just like journaling or doing something where it's like you're not just consuming and scrolling.
Right.
That is when I sleep the best, because then I get in bed, I read a little bit before, I feel amazing, and you know, dark room, cold room, all the tangible stuff. But yeah, is there anything that you add or do differently?
I have a routine right now that I love. And it doesn't always work out because travel. But even when I travel, I feel like I sleep really, really well. One thing, I don't know if you have one, but the 8 Sleep Mattress Pod is like incredible.
Is that the one where you were saying at Running Man? Where it's like
you have to get one.
If you're overheating or it senses your body, when you start sweating, it'll
cool you down.
That's
and if you start stirring, it'll figure out what temperature gets you back to sleep.
That's wild, dude.
Sleep the best I've ever slept on my 8 Sleep. I like crave that thing. Discount
like,
code
like the
Moss.
Number. Yeah.
Make sure you use it.
Moss. Okay.
M-A-U-S.
This is eight,
shameless plug.
The number 8?
Yeah. 8 Sleep.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, it got really, really popular a few years ago. A lot of big podcasters and stuff were talking about it, but it's legit. Like, they sent me one, full disclosure. They sent me one and I wasn't even excited about it. I'm like, I sleep fine. I don't need this.
Yeah.
It sat in my living room for a month.
Whoa.
And then one day I was like, man, I think I should probably open this thing and film it. So like I set it up and my wife was so upset. She's like, oh my gosh, you can see the lines in there. Like, we're going to feel it. You don't feel it.
Hmm.
She loves it. She's like, if we lost everything, if like our house burned down and like all the cold plunge saunas, everything we have was gone, what would be the first thing we bought? 8 Sleep. it says a lot.
That was, I think, I'm not sure if you told me that at Running Man, maybe it was.
Yeah.
Or after.
That's it's like her thing. Because she said it before.
No, you said that FaceTime this past week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I was like, yeah, I was like, I forget if I asked you or you basically said it. That's crazy. The fact that you wouldn't do, so there's cold plunges, there's saunas, there's Normatec, there's supplements, there's all these different things. But you would go.
Bro, yeah.
Sleep mattress, eight sleep.
It's next level. But yeah, I mean, obviously all those things are important. You can take a cold shower. I live in Florida, you live in Florida. Yeah. Walk outside, you're kind of in a sauna. But like the sleep part is important. So here's what I do. My sleep hack, and this is something that I do with my kids too. Not all of them do it all the time, but we always sleep better as a family when we do this. So one, first things first, and this is going to make no sense to most people, but like me and my wife both agree, if our kids want to sleep in our room with us, we let them.
Hmm.
If we can help them sleep better, we sleep better as parents. Because there's nothing I like hated worse than when we tried to make them sleep in cribs and then they woke up five times and we have to get out of our room and walk to their room to soothe them.
Mm-hmm.
Just like let them sleep in the room. Like, that's what we do. No judgment there, but like it is what it is. So we kind of take away the barriers.
We do
of,
not
like,
do that. Full disclosure.
We take away the barriers of like what's going to wake us up. That's thing number one. Second is the dog. Like she was whining at her crate. So she can sleep in her room too. Whatever.
On the bed?
We don't like that, but it is what it is. But that's not the rule. The routine is before I go to bed, when the sun goes down, we always try to get outside and ground and watch the sun set. If we can, right? It doesn't always work out. We have sports and stuff. But when we can, we get outside, we ground at night, and we try to watch the sun set. We try to see the sky go from bright to dim.
Yeah.
We spend time outside. That's important. Once that happens, all of our phones, and we have Apple TV, we're not super monk mode, but so we have TVs, we have, you know, iPads, phones, all that stuff. All of them, we triple click and it goes red. We turn all the screens red, including the TVs. We also all have red shaded glasses.
Yeah.
Not blue light blockers that are clear. They're blue light blockers that are red.
Yeah.
What that does is all of the lights you see and your brain sees fire. And fire is calming. It kind of tells your brain it's time to settle in.
Yep.
And
you're in the cave. With the other caveman.
Yes. And it takes some getting used to because everything's reddish, but it really makes a difference. So that's the things we do. Don't take a ton of supplements. There's a few I've experimented with. None of them make a difference to me. But one thing I've been doing lately and I love is yogurt, frozen blueberries, honey.
Before bed?
Right before bed. So typically when we're winding down, we've been playing games a lot lately. Bingo, Uno, fun love games. That. Good that's for great. The kids. Helps them like read and reaction time. But we all make a little bowl, and we go through so much yogurt. So if there's any yogurt companies that see this or hear this, please sponsor me. Grass-fed preferred.
Yes.
Grass-fed preferred, whole. Like, that's a goal.
Yes.
But yeah, raw honey, whole, grass-fed yogurt, and frozen organic blueberries.
What do you notice when you do that?
So have you ever worn a continuous glucose monitor before?
No.
So me and my wife did, and we've always looked the same. We've never been, like, super out of shape, but we've always looked the same. And started wearing them one time, and we found out she was hypoglycemic, meaning in the middle of the night, she was waking up with like panic attacks, which was weird. And it was because her blood sugar was crashing. And it was because she was breastfeeding four kids. She was breastfeeding and not eating enough for her and for the baby.
Wow.
So we started intentionally eating fat and protein-filled foods at night. Not so much carb, but whatever. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, then that helped. And we found that yogurt, blueberries, and honey is like this really great meal to eat at night where it just, I don't know. I'm sure if you looked into it, there's reasons, but became a great nighttime snack and we've just kind of stuck with it. Wow. Tried other things too. It's just a great nighttime snack and everybody seems to sleep well, which seems weird, right?
Yeah.
You're eating a lot of sugar in the honey and in the blueberries, but
it's worth a try now. I'm kind of, my interest is peaked. Like, and I would do that. I kind of do that stuff randomly, naturally, you know? And I'm not saying I'm full monk mode and I don't eat anything an hour before bed. Cause it's just not the case all the time, but, I'm going to definitely try that.
Yeah, dude, it's good. And I mean, that's kind of it. Then we usually just pray for the kids and everyone goes and lays down and goes to bed. We do have a red light panel in our room and that's our nightlight. And that helps.
Gotcha.
It can be bright. It can get a little hot because it's a large one. But yeah, I think having the red lights does help. I know people see it and they're like, this is weird. What kind of Amsterdam vibe you going for? But it's funny. We live on a lake and we have a bunch of lake neighbors. And now I'm seeing red lights across the lake
in
the morning and at night. Yeah,
whoa.
Yeah. Because we
start the trend, baby.
We start in the trend. Yeah, a lot of us talk. We have like a little Facebook group, and we all became friends. And it's like, dude, what are the benefits of this? A couple guys have hyperbaric oxygen chambers. Everyone's getting saunas and cold plunges. It's like this whole lake is gonna be nothing but healthy people.
The wellness retreat, dude. You could have the lake.
Calling it the well.
Let's Man, go. That's fire. So breath work, is that something that you do much, or meditation, prayer?
I breathe.
Yeah.
I breathe and I love breathing. Yeah. I don't do a lot of breath work. I should. And a lot of my friends do. I noticed we did some breathing out here.
Yeah.
I need to do more of it. I'm not against it.
Depends on how you define breath work too. Like, I think, I just mean like the simple practice of turning your attention to your breath. You know,
and not
really trying to think about anything else, but just breathing fully and slowly.
Well, I will say this: there's randomly a night a month that I just can't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Truth be told, and I find when I do box breathing, like when I sit up and I sit up and I stand on a acupressure mat,
mm-hmm.
and like sit on my edge with like the spikes on my feet, and I do box breathing. Usually, after about 2 minutes of that, I'll lay back down and fall asleep.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I have done box breathing, and I do find that it helps.
I just think breath work, breathing in general is so powerful because, I'm going to butcher it, but Jonah Kest, I had him on the podcast early on this year, and he was saying something about how, and I'm gonna do the bro science version of this, but, you know, your heart beats, your spleen's doing whatever spleens do. I'm not even sure what they do. Your liver's filtering, like all this stuff is happening. But your breath is the only thing like that, a natural occurring in your body, that you can control.
Ooh.
And you can slow down.
Bro, that's fire.
Right? So it happens. So he said both and. It's like it happens naturally, right? When we're sleeping, you're not thinking inhale, exhale. It's happening all the time naturally. But there's this shift where you can put your conscious focus to it and you're doing it consciously.
Dang,
intentionally.
You changed my whole shift there. You shifted it. You changed the thinking patterns now.
And dude, the breath is just so complex and profound. Inhale, exhale, receiving, releasing. So like, you know, we're talking full circle. We're talking God, and we're talking meditation and sleep. Dude, one of the best ways to get into the like just Zen type of peaceful state is to get into a place of I'm either receiving like a word or like a phrase or something like that, and then like exhaling something as well. So it's maybe breathing in peace, and I'll breathe that fully in through my nose, and exhale the stress of the day. You know, exhale trying to control people or things or whatever it is. But it's just, you can take it and run with it in 10 different ways every single day. Best part, it's always with you.
Let's go, bro.
You don't got to get that at the store.
No, it's always with you, and you can change it. I like that. It's the only human function, basically, other than maybe pooping and peeing, that you have control over.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that.
That also
even
happens
blinking
naturally.
Just happens. Like, I guess you can control.
That's true, but it doesn't affect your central nervous system as much. I think your breath is, it's the powerful one of those, because it's like it literally calms your heart, like slows your heart rate down. It you can change your physiology based on your breath.
Let's go,
which happens naturally. Yeah,
I love that, man.
Yeah.
I love
makes cold plunging easier too.
It does. That was gonna be my number two point of breathing, is when I get into the cold plunge, is when I always do box breathing, and it helps me like get through the time a little faster.
Yeah.
My typical routine is I'll get in and dunk. I'll try to stay under for 5 to 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. Come out, by the time you shake your hair, wipe the water off your face, you've been in there for 15 to 20 seconds. Then focus on your breathing. You've already gotten through that initial shock response. It sucks the most it's gonna suck because you've gone fully underwater. Everything is in, like, heightened. By that time, your body is releasing endorphins and all of the chemicals that are keeping you alive, but also making you feel good and alerting you to get out.
Mm.
So it's a huge rush of things. By the time you get to 30, 40 seconds, you typically got your breath controlled.
Yeah. I love that too, because we talk about that all the time with people jumping in for the first time, or they're new to cold plunging. Splashing your face. You know, you got so many sensors, or again, bro science, but if you splash your face, just like your ears or the temperature thermostat for your body, that's why we wear hats in the sauna, you just acclimate way sooner than if you just get in the cold plunge and you don't splash anything on your face. So it's about that kind of activating the system of, okay, let's get our bodies attuned to this new temperature sooner. That way it's a little bit easier, right?
Yeah, bro.
So maybe if you're really looking for a challenge, don't splash your face, I guess, if you're trying to be resilient.
Oh, man. I don't know.
Tell me about your big ass calendar. That's the thing that Jesse sends, yeah, right? It's called Big Ass Calendar. You just posted about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it's changed my whole year.
Okay, how has that thing changed your life? So number one, what is it? Number two, how has it changed your life? And
do you have one?
I don't, not yet. So number three is like, why should I get one?
Yeah, you should get one. Well, one, they're not expensive. So like, I don't know. I went through probably past 2-3 years of leaving the car business and having most of my days kind of planned for me. Like what I had to do as a job, like it all just kind of fit in. Like mm-hmm. it all just happened. Mm-hmm. And I just had to kind of be intentional about my day off or family vacations, which was like 1 week every 6 months
Sure.
So when I left that and now I've got all this time to plan out, I'm like, I need a planner. I need a calendar. I need to work. I need to just be smarter with all this time. And I couldn't find anything that helped. Like I had the paper calendars and the planners and I'm like sitting there and I found myself spending more time trying to plan out my day than actually living it. So it wasn't good for me. Like the planner thing wasn't good for me. There's way too much constantly varying that I couldn't really enjoy it. I couldn't get into that routine. And I went to Running Man last year.
Planning your life more than living your life is profound, but carry on.
Right. I was trying to plan it out, bro, and I wasn't living in the moments at all. And then I go to Running Man. Full disclosure, Plunge took me out there because they sponsored it last year. And they're like, Dave, we'd love to have you come out to this cool event. I wasn't a runner. I ran a half marathon with one of Stacy's cousins to support her 15 years ago. And I hated it.
Yeah.
I was horrible at it. I'm not a runner, bro. Like, 5K is way enough. I like the little CrossFit, like 400 meters in the middle of a workout. That's my running.
To the dumpster and back.
So, to the dumpster. You know, it's like, yes. Yeah, yes, yeah. To the dumpster and back, bro. Did we work out at the same gym?
Probably.
So I end up like reluctantly saying yes. I didn't know anybody out there. Mm-hmm. I was kind of a new content creator. I wasn't going out there as a content creator. I was just going out there with Plunge to help people, to teach people about the product and help people through their first cold plunge. Like that was kind of it. And thank you, Plunge, for bringing me out there. Because you opened my eyes to something
Shout out Plunge, by the way. They're amazing people. The team, the product, obviously.
I love them, man. Yeah, Ryan's about to have a baby, dude. Like,
let's go.
Let's go, man.
He's been liking more of my fitness, you know, fit dad content. Yeah. So I knew stuff's happening.
Something's happening, man. I'm so proud of him. I love that team. They're great people and a great company. But they took me out to Running Man. I knew of one person that was going to be out there, Shervin Shares. Crazy part to my story. Shervin's the reason I'm a content creator. Like Shervin there's so much to that story too. I can't share. It'll take up too much time. But Shervin, I love you, bro. If you ever hear this, just know I love you. And I'll always be grateful for you.
I love you too, buddy.
So I knew he was going out there. So I'm excited now. I'm like, okay, cool. At least I'll go out there and know somebody other than the Plunge team. Like I'll know somebody else.
It's good.
So I go, get my plane ticket, fly out there. Shervin's like, let's ride together. So we get in the car. He rented a Cybertruck. This is back when they first came out. And me, him, and two other content creators are in the Cybertruck, and we cruise the 2 hours to where Running Man is. Mm-hmm. Become all automatic bros. We decide we're going to share a tent together, and it's great. Mm-hmm. Running Man was awesome. I met 100 people that are all I consider friends after last year. And while I'm out there, I meet Jesse. I didn't even know who Jesse Etzer was. Like, I'm not a big content consumer, to be honest.
Yeah.
To be totally transparent. Like, I never really consumed a ton of content. So I didn't know who Jesse was. I didn't know who Devin was. But I met them there. They were super cool. Talked about the big ass calendar a little bit. I started following, you know, you become bros, you start following each other. Mm-hmm. And then now you know each other. So there's like that desire to engage with their content and see what they're doing, see what they're talking about. And I see this calendar, years coming to an end. And I'm like, you know what? I could get behind that. Because one thing I had was I had one of those little clear glass or plastic calendars that you could dry erase. And I had it in my kitchen of my house at one point. And I found that helped with me like figuring out when do I need to post for Plunge? When do I need to post for this brand? So I would put my deadlines like this is when I need to post. And I was able to just put the little check mark, keep it simple.
Huge.
And it helped. So I was like, dude, that'd be kind of cool to do that for the whole year.
Yeah.
So I get it. And I didn't really know how big it was. It's a big ass calendar.
Yeah.
So I got it. My wife is not on board with this thing being anywhere in the house. And I convinced her to let me put it in the hallway leading out of our master. So like when you walk out the master, the door can close and shut it and kind of hide it a little bit.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you're going to see it.
So it's in your master room hallway, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I don't know. I just started filling it up. I was like, all right, cool. So I got a couple work trips. So I used a certain color sticky note and I put it on there. And then I start, then I'm like, when do we have cheer competitions? So that's purple. Put those on there so I know when the cheer competitions are, so I don't over, like, I don't commit to doing something.
Sure.
And it was more for me.
Yeah.
No one in the family. I didn't get it for everybody. I got it for me. And then it was like, when does school have early release, or when's it a holiday so the kids don't have school? So I would put color there for mm-hmm. that. And then it was like, when do we have, two family vacations planned. Let's put those up. That's green. Boom, 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 boom. And now I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, bro, like, we've got a lot of space before we've got this. Like, we need to do something in January.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, what should we do in January, guys? And then Wyatt was like, let's go to Disney. I'm like, let's go to Disney. We'll do like 3 days at Disney.
Love
so
it.
Plan that. Bop, bop, bop. Put the color up there. And then it's like, man, we got 3 more weeks of like nothing. What should we do? I was like, guys, let's have some goals. I want to learn how to do a standing back tuck. Anybody else have a cool goal? So we all have a goal. And I'm like, by the end of January, in this month, I want to land a standing back tuck. I've never done one in my life.
You learned on YouTube?
No, I just learned.
Just learned, bro.
Yeah, I watched a couple YouTube videos. They weren't very helpful, unfortunately.
Do you have a friend kind of hold? Like,
yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, so my buddy Sean Murray is one of my best friends, nice. Pro wakeboarder.
Yeah.
He would FaceTime, coach me. And then my kids are competitive cheerleaders, so I would go to the gym with them on open gym, talk to their coach, and like have them train me.
Amazing.
But I got it.
Yeah.
So then, boom, sticker goes up, land, like goal achieved. Now I'm looking at, like, now it's like February's coming up. We don't have anything planned in February. We've got some time. We should do something. You know what? All of my kids know how to ski except for Wyatt, because he was conceived on a ski trip, but he's never been on one. Mm. So let's take him.
Oh, it's in his DNA then. He's just got to unlock that, you know?
So I took him, pop, 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 plan the trip, father-son trip with a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
Put that up there. Boom.
Just you two. That's
just
amazing.
Just us two, bro.
Amazing.
I highly encourage parents, do that.
Yeah.
So boom, do that. Next thing you know, like every month we're looking, now my wife's getting into it. She's like, man, this is actually kind of like a memory book. Like
yeah.
It's like a photo. It's no photos, but it's like, it's just like memories popping
up. What
do
we do each month? Yeah.
So now we plan, like every month we're looking at like everything. And it's not big extravagant trips. Like I know I'm mentioning the big ones, but it's like this weekend we're going to invite the Pruitts over.
Yeah.
Write that up there. Mm-hmm. Goes on the calendar. This weekend, Paul Saladino is going to come over. Boom. This weekend, we're going to have all of the eighth graders of Ava's school come spend the night.
Mm.
Come hang out. Like full Friday night party. Like have some fun. Boom. Plan it. So now this calendar has turned into like, I don't even know, like a pride board, like a brag board.
It's like almost like you're trying to build an interesting life.
Yeah.
Like you're trying to do interesting things, have goals, and not just go through the motions of life,
bro,
which I think that's phenomenal.
That's what I was doing.
Yeah.
Like for every year of my life, it would just be work in that little circle of just work, yeah. Maybe kiss my kids goodnight, work, maybe go to a cheer comp, work. Yay. Now we have our annual family vacation, mm-hmm. which I'm going to be thinking about work on. Now it's intention. Like it's intention over work. And I'm planning work around my intention, fortunately. Sorry, everybody watching this, all my brand partnerships and stuff. I love you guys. I get it done. But I plan my family.
Yeah.
I plan the life that actually brings me life. And then around that is where I fit in work. And I can plan, like, dude, like, there's been a couple months where I have, like, 5 days of work.
Yeah.
Like, and the rest is movement.
Focused, yeah. Yeah.
And I'm able to get it all done.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, that's freaking cool.
100%. That's
so it's been super intentional for us. The family loves it. I bought like 10-20 of them and gave them out as gifts. Right. I don't know if everybody's actually using them. My buddy Matt Laporta, Major mm-hmm. League Baseball player, he actually texted me like last week. He's like, bro, this big ass calendar has been a game changer for
loves
me.
It.
How do I buy 2026s?
Yeah.
And I'm like, so I'm just gonna get you one, bro. Don't worry.
I may have to buy my own.
Now it's big.
Yeah.
Like you need to yeah. find a spot.
Put it back. I mean, I might put it back here, honestly. You know?
You probably could. Yeah. Like it's gonna take up a large space. But if used right, I mean, like, what we're going to do is we're going to leave it up, and then when 2026 comes, it's going to be like the sticker on your license plate. We're just going to put the new one over it.
Put it over.
So then, like, we'll have, like, stack of them,
yeah.
and then maybe in 5 years or something, we'll just kind of, like a big photo album without photos. Like, just
yeah.
see what we've done and see the places Dude, we've gone. Like,
I love that, bro. It's intentional living, which is so much of life, and we can, we've gone over an hour, 10 minutes. I love it.
And we haven't even talked about anything.
I still had some questions in my head about certain topics. Like,
keep going.
So
I don't care.
Yeah. So we don't have a time frame, like a hard stop. We will jump in the cold plunge in the sauna.
Yeah,
though,
bro.
Cool with it.
That's easy stuff.
And we're gonna jump on your podcast.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, Josh is gonna be like, peace. But how do you do the podcast? How do you do yours?
I just film us, bro.
On your phone.
This is gonna be so cool. Like, I love podcasts where we've got multiple cameras, good mics.
Crazy, dude.
we're just going to FaceTime, basically like a FaceTime call with my phone right here. And we're just going to talk with our lips next to each other.
Perfect.
Now we'll figure it out.
In the plunge. We're going to do a two person plunge.
Yeah, bro. We're just going to talk about, we're going to have some fun.
So real quick, just to cap that thought off though, is you're prioritizing lifestyle over income to a certain extent.
Oh yeah.
Because like that is the new rich. Like if you have enough money to cover the bills, to cover, you know, when life happens, just to feel pretty good about that. I think Joe Rogan talks about it a lot. Like if you make 50 grand or 100 grand more than that, it's not like your lifestyle significantly gets better or your peace of mind or your happiness, right? So I love that you do that because that's just a much better focus, like the lifestyle and your approach. So then the crazy part is you've stepped into this newer, different lifestyle, and it's paying off more than what your job with the dealership paid. So that's crazy. That's awesome, because I'm a big believer, if you just do something that you're passionate about, like I feel like the money and the opportunities will come because you're more in line with your purpose. But with that, I'd love to hear, like, so when you're talking about like creating content, you're not a content creator, like by, you know, your own words, like quote unquote, I'm not a content creator, or you never thought yourself to be one, but you're clearly really great at what you do. You clearly speak authentically. You create awesome content. You're succinct. You share valuable information. So my question is like, what's your best, like, what was the mindset shift for you to really make better content where you felt good about it?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I have been in a position most of my adult life where like I was a leader, like I was a manager. So I had a team that I had to be able to speak to. Sure. So I would go to classes and I would just do all the things I could do to get better at speaking, to get better at leading, to get better at making it make sense.
Yeah.
Is what I always go back to.
Taking whatever's in here and like,
you just got to make it make
sense. Expressing it in a simple,
yes,
understandable way.
Yes. And that's, something I'm still working on, but it's something I also felt like I was pretty decent at. Like,
yeah.
I can take my crazy ADHD brain and make it make sense to somebody in a simple way without overcomplicating it. And I think that's the problem. I think sometimes people are so smart in this space. Like I watch people just like you probably do that, like go through reviews and they go through studies and they speak like they're talking to a whole bunch of scientists that understand the gibberish. Like, all right, now I'll simplify it to like what a middle schooler would understand.
Yes.
Cause that's me.
Yes.
Like I can't understand these big words. Make it make sense to me. So I would say the switch happened when, you want to hear when the switch happened for me? I was making content on YouTube because of COVID. COVID came and we were told we were going to shut down the car dealerships. And I'm like, well, this is going to suck. Like, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
We can't like meet with people. How are we going to show them the car? How are we going to explain the benefits? So I was like, let's just start a YouTube channel where I'll do walkarounds of all of our cars and we can share that with customers. So they have time to like watch and pause and share with their spouse and ask questions. I didn't know YouTube connected you to the whole world. I was never a big consumer of content.
Sounds like a Gary Vee story, you know, where he just started selling wine and this.
I don't know the story. No.
Okay, well, carry on because it's very similar.
I need to hear it then. So I know who Gary Vee is, but I didn't know his story. I got to check that out. But yeah. So like, I started making content about cars, and then COVID didn't really shut us down. It was Florida, but I had learned YouTube. I had learned how to video. I had learned how to edit. I had learned how to publish. And then I realized, why are these videos getting so many views, and why are these people commenting from other countries?
Yeah.
What is happening here?
Huh.
Like, I think we've been hacked. And then I learned, oh no, when you post something to YouTube, anyone can find it. It's not just, I thought you had to share the link and that's how people saw videos.
Wow.
Cause that's how YouTube videos had came to me
in
my previous life. Like people would share a random motivational video from YouTube. So I thought that's the only way you found it. So now I'm learning more about YouTube. Like, this is kind of cool. And COVID didn't shut us down. So like I did a lot of different video updates, like what's going on at the dealership now, like some of the specials. Like I used it as a place to communicate with people who might be interested in buying a car.
Mm-hmm.
And then my buddy Sean Murray was like, dude, like your YouTube channel is so cool. Like, have you ever considered making videos like with your family? Like when you and your kids go on trips and your family go on trips and like documenting it. Cause like our dads don't have the camcorders anymore. They're not making home videos anymore. He's like, that's how I look at my YouTube. Like, yes, it's my job, but also I love documenting trips so that we can relive those memories. I'm like, that's so cool. So I started filming with my kids. I started filming us building chicken coops and beehives and mining crypto and all the random stuff we were doing and learning. And then I went snowboarding with some buddies. I was dealing with severe brain fog. I'd never cold plunged in my life or been in cold water. I grew up in Florida, and the coldest water I'd ever been in was 70 degree spring water.
Yeah.
And I go snowboarding with some buddies. There's a creek behind where we're staying. And one of the guys is like, dude, let's go jump in that water. And I'm like, no, bro, we'll die. He's like, no, we won't. You'll feel amazing. Let's go. So I was like, all right, whatever. We jump in there. And that feeling changed my life. I felt like almost like there's this Ryan Reynolds movie, Free Guy, where he's like,
Love that movie.
Yeah, I love that movie, right? And he hits the little health button, and it's like, whoop, oh my gosh, I feel brand new. That was me. And I was like, what did we just do? What did we just unlock? I called my wife. I was like, babe, we've got to do some ice baths. She's like, what? So get home, it's flash like forward. I built a cold plunge, and I had aquariums before. So I knew that there was chillers, and I knew how to build an aquarium. You filter, a pump, you need water moving, and then maybe a chiller. I had a saltwater aquarium with a small chiller once. And I built basically a large aquarium, put my body in it. But I filmed it on my phone and posted it to YouTube, thinking it might help a person or two. Video went crazy.
Explaining why you did it and all that?
Just showing how I'm doing it. Literally, it was a trial and error video. Yeah. Like, I'm like, I'm going to build a cold plunge. This is what I got, and this is how I'm going to do it. And literally, I'm videoing. At the end of the video, I'm like, guys, don't do crack. Do cold plunges instead. Like, seriously, had no intentions of this video going crazy for me. And it went crazy. And next thing you know, brands are like, hey, let me pause. Before I get to brands, next thing I know, people are commenting from all over the world like, this video was fire. Thank you so much. Cold plunging changed my life. How do you clean it? And I'm like, that's a great question. I haven't had to do that yet. How do I clean it? So then I made another video. How do you clean this cold plunge? Yep. And then, what if you have a kid that wants, you know, what if you have kids around? I'm like, I have kids around. Make a video of my kids. And what should we do? Building a lid for it. They made a video, like, people are like, I don't have, you know, I don't want to use a horse trough because it's metal and electricity will die. Like, why not use rubber? I'm like, pretty sure water is conductive in whatever material you're in, but let's do a rubber one. I built one with rubber. And it just kept stacking. I kept making cold plunge videos, and then brands started reaching out. But the thing that flipped for me, because it was just hobby. I was working
in the car business. And you weren't making money with that yet.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could make money.
Right.
I didn't know you could make money on YouTube. I didn't know who Mr. Beast was.
I shouldn't even ask that question, because you thought YouTube was only videos sent to people.
Yeah.
With text messages.
Bro, I had no idea. I never heard the word affiliate before. Yeah. I didn't know any of this stuff.
Yeah.
And then a guy named Shervin Shares reaches out to me and is like, bro, your video is great.
Yep.
But you don't have any links in there. Like, you're leaving money on the table. I'm like, I don't need the $20. Like, I got a good job. Yeah. He's like, bro, it's like, it could be good money.
Yeah.
So he, long story short, coaches me through, like, walks me through what to do. And like, the first month, that video, these old videos, I just put some links in, some Amazon links in there, made like $200. I was like, oh, that's like half a trip to the grocery store once a week.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But it works.
The next month it was like $400. The next month it was $800. The next month it was $1,200. Like, it just kept going up, and then it was like a shark in the, like, smells blood in the water. Yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, if I just keep making content, I'll just keep making money. Like, this is cool. So then I just kept making more videos, and then brands reached out and were like, hey, we love what you're doing in the cold plunge community. We'd like to send you a product. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Really? Like, what's strings? Like, no strings. Yeah. So then Ice Barrel sent me an ice barrel, and I'm like, what do I do with this thing? They're like, you have fun with it. Like, it's yours. I'm like, can I video it? They're like, yeah. They're like, we'll give you an affiliate link. I'm like, what's that mean? So Shervin had to explain what an affiliate link meant.
Is he with Ice Barrel, or he's just explaining?
He's just a content creator who
he's helping you out. He's doing charity work.
Just being a charitable man.
Bless your heart.
He's one of the best humans on the planet. I want you guys to meet.
Heck yeah.
So then more brands started reaching out. I started getting recognized places, like, dude, like, I saw your cold plunge video, and I was the car guy in Tampa, and now I'm being recognized as the cold plunge guy, and it's fulfilling, because it's like, not only am I just selling cars, but like, I'm helping people better their lives.
Yeah, that's good.
Like, an older couple at the Sand Pearl in Clearwater, like, we're like, hey, we watched your video together, we built the same cold plunge because of you, it's changed my life, like, I had hip surgery, and that was just fulfilling. So it switched when I started seeing that it was actually making an impact in people's lives. And then I started taking it more seriously. And then it got to a point where it's like, this is bringing me fulfillment. The car business no longer is. I don't want to be one foot in, one foot out. I want to be both feet into something I'm really passionate about.
Love that.
So I'm going to leave the car business. I'm going to leave my career, 20 years, vice president role, stable, comfortable income, all of it, for this unknown world of just making videos on YouTube. And at the time, using an iPhone 13 mini.
Yeah.
Front camera.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, dude. The story's crazy.
But dude, that's just, I mean, that's crazy, because you experienced traction and success, what you just finished there with, on an iPhone mini front-facing camera. I think the trap that Josh talks about a lot, and I am aware of, that I think people fall into, is like, you need this, like, crazy expensive camera, or you need this, you know, you need like all the crazy editing. And it's like, what if you don't? What if all that's just like
makes you feel good.
Yeah, it makes you feel good. And maybe there's opportunity to do that in the future when it just makes more sense. But like, I think a lot of people want to get into content creation or even promoting their own brand or business, but they don't go more fully into it because they're like, I don't have everything I need.
Bro.
But it's like, you just said, you just freaking started making videos and you just kept being consistent and then the world opened up to you.
Bro, go back and watch my first videos. Like anyone watching, it's David Maus Jr. on YouTube. M-A-U-S, spelled like German mouse. Just go back to my oldest or most popular videos. All of my most popular videos are me literally watching myself on the front. Like my eyes aren't even locked on you. My eyes are locked on myself because I'm vain and we all are, right? And I'm like watching myself video with this little tiny
camera. Which is bizarre, by the way, like as human beings. That's like so much a blip on humanity's like we're doing that. They would have never imagined that's something in the future. But
so true, man. So crazy. But yeah, that's how it started. And then it got to a point where I made the decision to leave the car business and into this. And at the time, I hate to talk about numbers, but like at the time I was making between like $1,000 and $2,000.
Five years ago?
Yeah, look at these. These are crazy. Oh yeah, I found some of my unlisted videos.
Yep.
And turned them on, which they're fun to watch.
So what do you think you bring to the table in your content that makes people love it or buy the product you're showing?
So I did not know that this was what I was going to be doing. And I did not need money from brands when I started doing it. So when brands were reaching out and they were like, hey, we want to give you product. Like Ice Barrel reached out and they just genuinely just sent me a barrel.
Yeah.
And I know Wyatt, the founder, and the Ice Barrel story is one to unpack another day. I love Wyatt. I owe a lot of my success to him. He gave me a lot of opportunities and he connected me with a lot of people. And I did not... And then after Ice Barrel, like I got the product, I was able to do just like a, hey, this is the Ice Barrel. I'm going to turn it into a DIY. So I did a bunch of videos using that. Then Polar Monkeys reached out. Same thing. They're like, hey, we want to send you this. And I was like, okay, cool. So now I've got two. So I'm like doing some reviews. I had bought the Edge Theory Labs cold plunge, rest their souls. And so like I had three now. So now I've got three. So I'm able to do like rotating content on these three products. I did like comparison videos. Mm-hmm. I did some like upright versus lay down versus metal tub. Like I was able to do a lot because it was three totally different cold plunges. Mm-hmm. So I was able to do some not product specific videos that ended up being product specific. And all three of them gave me an affiliate code and I wasn't exclusive and I didn't need it. So now I've got other brands that are reaching out, but they want exclusivity. They're like, hey, we want to partner with you, but we don't gift products unless you're us exclusive.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, then don't send me your product.
Yeah.
Like,
because that wasn't worth it to you because there's so much more opportunity on the table. Yeah.
Yeah. So
it had to be a fat deal for that to be worth it for you.
There was no deal that would have been worth it because at the time I was making so much money in the car business. Like none of what they were willing to offer would have even like I would have considered because it was like that's – Now I'm a sales rep for you. Mm-hmm. When I can only represent you, I have to be kind of like a sales rep for you, sure. Which feels different than when I have 45 different cold plunges at my house and 16 different saunas that I can make content on at any time. And I have full autonomy. Mm-hmm. Like I sign no exclusivity and I have no scripts. Like I speak what I want to speak. And one of the cool things, my manager, now I have a manager, now I have a full-time
Lisa.
Editor. Yeah, Lisa, she's the best. You talk to her.
She's a long-term friend. Like we connected years ago, but yeah.
Through Organifi?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we've reconnected. We're talking about potentially working together.
Should, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, 100%.
She's good people.
She is great people.
She's an incredible soul.
She has changed my life. And she's one of the first people. Shout out Lisa. She's one of the first people to really show me that I had value. Like I didn't know. There was a month where I did 200 Ice Barrel sales on my affiliate. 200 in 1 month. And I shared that with Lisa and she's like, David, that's insane.
That's crazy.
She's like, you are worth, and I had like 15,000 subscribers on YouTube. Yeah. Like everything was growing, but it wasn't like it is today.
Yeah.
And she's like, you like brands aren't seeing, they're seeing you for your subscriber count, but they're not seeing you for your value. Like I need to know these numbers.
Yeah.
So then I started like going through, I didn't really even look, started going through and was sharing all these numbers. And she's like, you're doing almost $1 million in sales a month. This is insane, David. And I think it's because I wasn't exclusive with one brand. Like I was able to authentically talk about all these different products.
Yeah.
And then like I had friends that had other products that I didn't have and I would just review them. Cause like, I'm like, okay, cool. I'm a resource now for people. I, just like when I was in the car business, we sold pre-owned cars and I wasn't like glued to like, you have to buy a Nissan cause that's what we have. Or you have to buy an Acura. Like, no, like if we don't have a car that suits your lifestyle and what you need, let's help you find the right car for you. Even if it's not from me.
Yeah.
And I still take that stance. Like if you watch every video I ever make and you end up buying a product that's not a product I've ever reviewed, good. I want you to be able to make the best decision for yourself.
That's good.
Genuinely.
Yeah.
Dude, people will reach out and they're like, dude, I just bought this product. I felt so bad because I didn't use your code. I'm like, I get paid like $20. Like, right, it doesn't change my life.
Yeah.
I'm happy for you.
Yeah.
I'm glad my content was able to help you. Thank you for watching my videos. Yeah. That means a lot. Hopefully you liked and subscribed and maybe shared it with a friend.
Sure.
For the algorithm, right? But at the end of the day, like, I was able to, I felt like I was a resource for people.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's shifted from just cold plunging to red light therapy, mm-hmm, and hyperbaric oxygen chambers and saunas and different biohacks and now supplements and nutrition, everything in the health and wellness space. And I'm just super blessed to be able,
yeah,
to talk about these things. But now it's even transitioned into like events. Like Running Man had me come out and they were like, we want your honest take on Running, yeah, Man. Like, yeah, who is Running Man for? And I'm like, I'll share it with you. Like, I interviewed Jesse and Devin. Did you see that interview?
No.
So I interviewed them. They're on my podcast. And I told them, I said, dude, I had no idea who either of you were when I went to Running Man last, yeah, year. Never heard your name before in my life. And, yeah, they were like, both like, who is this guy interviewing us? Like, you could see it on their face. And then I'm like, but now I consider you both like brothers. Like, you're people I am just proud to know,
yeah,
and also excited to share with my audience, because like, you guys are living lifestyles that other people want to live.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's possible. You prove that it's possible. And it's great. But yeah, that's a long-winded answer, but...
No, you're like me, dude. Our short answers are...
Very detailed.
Detailed. But I love it. I love it. So what I hear from you saying that is, first off, first takeaway, which I think should be a reminder to me, to you, everybody listening, as we kind of close up, because we are getting close. I don't want to go crazy too high over, but...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can even cut this into two if you need to.
Oh, I'm not worried about that. But I'm saying, great reminder that it's not about follower count or subscriber count. Your conversions are insane, and it's because of two reasons. But you don't have a million subscribers.
Right.
You have 60,000 subscribers, yeah, on YouTube.
Like 58.
But you're making your living through those videos. So that should be like a wake-up call to everyone. Like, you don't need to chase the equipment, and you don't got to chase the follower count or subscriber count, because you can make things happen with your content if you do two things. This is what I'm just hearing you talk. It is transparency and authenticity. You're transparent in your content. Because I asked you, I'm like, what makes your content stand out? Or what's your superpower behind creating content? And what I gathered from that is you're transparent. Hey, I got this as a gift. I'm reviewing it. Or I don't work with any brand specifically, exclusively. I am just going to give you my opinion transparently, friend to friend, and people trust you. They feel that, and that's huge. And then authenticity, like your videos, yourself in person, you're the same guy. You're talking to the camera like it's a buddy, and I think that's a freaking superpower.
Thanks,
and you're
bro.
Doing that great.
Thank you. God has been good. I'm super grateful for everyone who does watch my content. It is frustrating. I'll share, and maybe you can, yeah, elaborate on this to anybody watching, because I assume some people watching this might aspire to be a content creator, or you know, are currently doing it.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like sometimes I get caught up in the trap that doesn't even matter to me. Like, probably 1%, 1-5% of my entire income comes from anything I do on Instagram. And there was a time where like 5, 6, 7 reels went crazy viral, and they made no sense. I have no idea why they went viral. And it brought in a crazy amount of followers.
Yeah.
But then I'm looking and I'm like, I don't know what's like, it's frustrating, because it's like, now I have this like 98,000 followers, and my wife gets more views on some of her random posts than some of my videos do. And it's like, was I hacked? Like, what has happened here?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What has happened?
Comparing.
And you get in this comparison trap. And I, some days, I can't say it, you know, some people are like, I don't ever do this. No, some days I look at it and I'm like, freaking hate Instagram. Like, maybe I need to do some of the trendy stuff.
Yeah. Can be frustrating.
Why?
Yeah.
Like, why do I need to do the trendy stuff? I don't care if anyone, I don't care if I get a viral video on Instagram. It never mattered to me until I saw it, until it actually happened. And I'm like, oh, that was cool. It felt really cool. But it doesn't change my income. It doesn't change my life.
Mm.
So then some days I'm like, I'm just going to make content I like.
Mm-hmm.
And if it helps one person, mission accomplished. That's always been my thought.
Yeah.
But then it's like, I feel like Instagram has just been toying with me lately. Like, some videos that I put a lot of effort into, getting no visibility. And then the videos that I hate,
yeah,
like I'm upset that I even post, do well. And yeah, it's like, come on, man. So I personally, like, I love working with, YouTube. I love working with brands on YouTube because it's an intentional view. Mm-hmm. You know what you're going to get.
Yep.
People are going to watch it for a specific reason, and you're giving them specific information. And that's been kind of like I have to shift my focus. Like, why do I even care so much about Instagram?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's all a tool at the end of the day. Like I'm a big believer that, you should use tools in the best way that tool is designed for. So, but the problem arises when, to your point, and this happens in my own life, where I let Instagram be too much of a big deal, or let that kind of like be the real world, where it's like, no, actually, this is the real world.
Yeah, yeah.
My family is the real world. That's right. Like the opportunities in person are the real world. When I see someone who I connect with on Instagram, and then we get to become friends in real life, that's when it gets exciting. You know, people come to the summits because they discovered me through YouTube or Instagram. There's so many different things that make Instagram or YouTube or TikTok really beautiful, but it's not real life. And I think using them the way they should be used is huge. I love that you said, like, hey, I mean, if you're focused on the process over the outcome, that's the best place to be in, because that dynamic, that lesson that you just described, happens at 50K, at 100K, at 200K, at 500K, at 1 million, at 2 million, and so on. It's the human experience to like compare,
yeah,
and then to feel like we're behind or we're lacking.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, dude, that's never gonna be the point. And so this whole conversation is about the process, the intention.
Let's go, bro. And appreciate being you authentic. Putting that. So, thanks for wrapping that up.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. Because it's a very real feeling right now. I'm like, oh.
We can jam on it more, dude. But in the cold plunge, I just need to get out of the sun in the cold plunge.
Same here. Let's go, bro. Let's wrap it up.
But dude, phenomenal, dude. Thanks for being here. Dude, I love you, bro.
Love you too, man.
Oh, what is that? That's a new handshake.
Unique.
It was the turkey, but now it's the freaking.
Sometimes you got to have some unique handshakes.
That's going to be ours from now on.
Let's go.
Let's go. David, you're a legend, bro. Thanks you for being here. Follow him. I'll link his stuff on the description. As always, thanks for being here. Keep becoming more you.
I love that.
Cold plunge time.
Let's go.